G'day everyone, Monday, April 12, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning wherever you are listening, and the final round of the Masters. We'll keep you updated all throughout the morning. Hideki Matsuyama looking to be the first Japanese player to score victory in a major. And he's 11 under par, he's even through three holes today, and he leads Zalatoris, Will Zalatoris, by three shots. He's one under through five holes of his final round. And we're tracking Mark Leishman, of course, who started the day seven under par, four off the lead. And he's had a very mixed start. He's gone bogey, birdie, bogey, par in his first four holes in his final round. So he's one over through the day, six under for the tournament, five shots off the pace. Come on, Leish, what a weekend of footy it was. Not a great day for your West Tigers, Clarkie. Well, they were better in the second half, but that first half, let's be honest, that was a disgrace. Morning to you.
Morning, Middo. Morning, Loz. Morning to our listeners. Yeah. How do you politely criticise your own team? Because I don't know what we were doing. And I don't think Michael Maguire knows what they were doing either. So, yeah, not a good sign for the Tigers. Again, I just think it's that inconsistency that drives every fan crazy. And you're looking at the way they play, not just, you know, the win versus the loss. But, yeah, they were horrible, unfortunately. And I've got to say, Mido, for heroes and villains, you've just mentioned my villain for the weekend. They were that bad. And I hate, you know, criticising my own team, as I think all fans do. But, yeah, we got some serious issues.
I feel a bit bad, I guess, Loz, for probably starting on a negative, because a couple of those tries, early doors from the Cowboys, was as good a footy as you'll see.
They played some really good football yesterday, the Tigers, but the Cowboys, but you've got to say the Tigers, they just didn't front up. They didn't front up early. They had plenty to play for yesterday. You know, they had a win the previous week. They were playing for Tommy this weekend, back at Leichhardt Oval, full crowd, Sunday afternoon, and you're expecting a lot more than what they gave us. But you're right, the Cowboys did play some good football, and that's what we've been wanting to see now for the last month. And I think Todd Payton will be scratching his head going, where was that performance early in the season? But they, you know, Tabuai Fadeau, you know, showed his speed early in that contest when he went down that left edge. They got around Roberts and Nofaluma, who, I've got to say, they struggled defensively yesterday and they made some poor errors. They came back in the second half, the Tigers, but the game was all over by then. The Cowboys end up winning by 4 points, but Michael Maguire, he'd be very, very disappointed because that's a game they should have won.
Have to win.
The defence was just so, so poor in that first half.
Well, it wasn't a priority. And I think if you're a team that's going to win a competition, you place just as much as importance on a defence as you do on your attack. But this looked as though they were a team there that didn't want to get their shoulders dirty yesterday, and they didn't want to show energy in defence. And unfortunately, that's what happens when you're not a team that is consistent. You look pedestrian at times, and it looks as though all you want to do is play with the ball. You don't want to do the other part of the game, which is defence. And that's 50% part of the game. You've got to get your shoulders dirty. You've got to be energised in defence. You've got to move forward. You've got to hit your targets. You've got to be aggressive in everything that you do. But we didn't see that.
The try, the back row for the Cowboys, Ben Condon, scored one out. Oh, that was under eights.
Well, I'll tell you another try I saw under eight style on the weekend. And I haven't seen it for a long while. And you're talking about Ben Condon. Yeah, that was an ordinary performance from the Tigers to stop him. But Dave Fifita took a tap on the weekend.
Yeah.
Took a tap.
Touch footy.
And just ran from 15 metres out and scored.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw an NRL player just... And it wasn't a quick tap.
Yeah.
So the line was set. Yeah. And he just tapped it and ran straight over a Newcastle player to score a try. I think it might have been Connor Watson. But in that situation, you've got people on the inside, you've got people on the outside that can certainly help you. So, yeah, some of the defensive efforts from the weekend from players and teams, it wasn't great.
He's starting to already justify that
To score three tries in the way that he's been playing.
Yeah, he's
the
looking good.
He ran around Kalen Ponga there a number of times Saturday, and he is a weapon. He's a try scorer, gets through plenty of work, but he's damaging and destructive. I'll tell you what, though, the Dragons supporters will be up and about this morning. Geez, they were impressive last night. They were really good. I said it before last weekend's game. You know, they've had a relatively easy run. This was their first big challenge against Parramatta, and they came through with flying colours. They were the dominant team right from the get-go. And you talk about defence, that's what won them the game last night. Their ability to defend, their ability to show effort on effort on effort against this big Parramatta team. I was watching Junior Paulo play there. I don't think he created any second phase at all, whereas that's been his big go so far this year and over the last 18 months. They controlled Campbell Gillard. They put pressure on the halves, Dylan Brown and also Mitch Moses. And again, Parramatta, when they got under the pump, they came up with those wrong plays at the wrong moments. They tried to come up with the big play rather than being patient. And I understand they were probably chasing points at that particular stage, but they just outworked them, the Dragons, and well done to them. But they've got to back it up now. The Dragons have to back it up. But if you're a Dragon supporter, you'd be loving what you saw last night.
Now, you had a day at the track there on Saturday. What a great day it was. Day one of the championships with the four group ones. Arcadeau, Terry Robinson, well done to him and his team, winning the $500,000 New Haven Park Country Championships final. How was your day, Lozza?
It was good, actually. Mido backed a couple of winners. Enemo was outstanding. Oh. He was outstanding. Nature Strip. Wow, haven't they found the key to him? That was just a dominant performance in the TJ Smith. And then Cascadian in the Doncaster. Unbelievable performance from Jamie Carr riding up here in Sydney. She's got the Midas touch at the moment, but it was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day. Ran into plenty of people, had a good time, backed a couple of winners along the way. Yeah, it was pretty good. And looking forward to day two of the championships with the Queen Elizabeth this weekend.
Possibly gets better this weekend with the Queen Elizabeth, as you say. A day, very elegant, a Dragon Day. Hopefully Mugger 2 backs up. It'll have a crucial day today. And Australian Bloodstock and Chris Lees will make a call throughout the week whether it backs up in the Queen Elizabeth. Hope so. Ran really well in the Cox Plate last year. The All-Star Mile winner. And certainly wasn't a disgrace running fourth in the Doncaster with the top weight on the weekend. But what a day we got on Saturday. Get out to Randwick if you can. It was a great atmosphere there on Saturday. Now, we're also in the AFL over the weekend. The Giants, much-needed win. They beat Collingwood by 30 points, and Toby Green kicked 5 goals there. So, gee, they needed that, and we're going to speak to Harry Himmelberg later this morning.
Yeah, they did, and it sets up a wonderful clash this weekend when they take on the Swans at the SCG. So, look, the Giants went into that game not expected to win, plenty of injuries, and they produced one of their best performances of the last couple of years. And Toby Green, as skipper, looks as though he loved that added responsibility. And I've said it before, some players, they really enjoy being captain. Other players don't want to be a captain. They're reluctant to take it on. Some people it doesn't suit. But with Toby, he just accepted the challenge and delivered on the big stage against Collingwood down there at the MCG. So, we need, GWS to be strong here in Sydney. Well, they need to be strong if they want to have a relevance because you know what people are like when they're supporting their football teams, and in particular a startup, a new startup team out there in rugby league heartland. They need all the success they can get early, and they need to be winning games of football if they're to keep their supporter base.
New South Wales yesterday, Clarkey, their 12th domestic one-day title, beating WA by 102 runs there at Bankstown Oval. 20-year-old Jack Edwards, man of the match. Yep. Don't know a lot about Jack, but a ton. And they were in some trouble there. They were 3 for 50. They'd lost 3 quick wickets at one stage to the Blues. And the young fella, he stabilised the innings. And, the combination of Stark, Abbott and Lyon rolled WA for 149.
Yeah, good win from the Blues. At one stage, I thought they might have been 30 or 40 short in regards to where they were sitting with only about 10 overs to go. But, yeah, great performance from young Edwards. He's a good player. I've watched him a little bit, particularly in the shorter form. Takes on the short ball, got a pretty good technique, and he's played a few games now for New South Wales. So, yeah, I think he's got a bright future, and that's a big win for the Blues. They're obviously in the Shield final as well, and, I've got to say, with, Stark, Hazelwood, Lyon in that team, you did expect them to probably win the one-day cup, but you still got to go out there and do it. But, yeah, good final. WA will be disappointed. Some good performances with the boar from WA, but yeah, a good win for the Blues.
All right, plenty of texts coming through for heroes and villains. 0419 767 272. Give us a call, 1353 53, and we've got the $100 gift card. I'm pretty sure we're still giving away the 3M Work Tunes earmuffs. Yes, we are. The thumbs up from the fellas in the control room. Beautiful. Now, morning boys. Gee, they've all come in very quickly here. My hero is Jamie Carr for a wonderful achievement. Well done to Jamie indeed, winning the Doncaster on Cascadia. My villain are the Bulldogs, the only team now without a win. The Oval Treeman says, oh, gee, it is a long road back, it looks, for the Bulldogs there, 52-18 against the Storm on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, you could say that. But again, I think we were talking about Manly and the Cowboys on the weekend, wondering whether or where their first win was going to come from. And all of a sudden, they turned it around on the weekend. Daly Cherry-Evans kicked the field goal in the dying seconds to get their first victory of the season. Then the Cowboys just turned it on against the Tigers. So they will win games. But again, this is probably a stronger side on paper than what it was last year, the Bulldogs, and they were winning games. You know, so I doubt whether they'll go through the season, without a loss, without a win. But there's just sort of not a lot of improvement there at the moment. They're still trying to learn basic skill levels of the game and catch and pass and, you know, getting in the right shapes and things like that. So that'd be a frustration of Trent Barrett, but they'll get better as the season goes on.
Hi, boys and Jamie. Heroes, the ATC for a great day in crowds back at day one of the championships. Villain, the Tigers. The Tigers crowd. You don't boo your own team. That is one thing you don't do. Regards, the snob. Yeah, interesting one, this. Interesting one. So they did cop boos at halftime when they were down 28-6. Can you boo your own team?
I don't like it, Middo, to be honest. I would. If I was there watching, I would never boo my own team. You can understand. And again, it's not the result; it was how they were playing. So you get the fans' frustration. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not a big one for. You don't have to stand and applaud, but you don't need to boo either.
I think it depends on who you play. If I'm a fan, if you play Melbourne Storm or Penrith and you come up against one of the really good teams, you sit back and admire what they do. Mm-hmm. And you probably go, well, you know what? That's probably expected. We tried hard, but they're just too good.
Have you ever booed a team?
When you come, yeah, I'll bag a team at home if I'm watching.
No. Have you ever booed? If you went to a ground, would you boo? Would you stand there and boo?
Oh, well, it's not my go. I've never done it.
Yeah.
I've never done it because I don't really... But I criticise. 100% I criticise. Yeah. Whether I'm sitting in my backyard or whether I'm sitting out there at the footy with my mate.
I think there's a difference, though. Yeah. I think we all... Like, if your team or your individual player or whatever, I think we all praise and criticise. Yeah. But I think to stand loud and proud at the game and boo a player or boo your team...
Yeah.
I don't reckon that's
It's probably not right, but I mean, when the passion is flowing. But again, I get back to Tigers fans turn up to watch their team play well, and they want them to have a go.
Yeah,
and they see them coming up against the last place or a team that hasn't won a game in the Cowboys, and they're thinking, this is a game we can win, and then to be behind. What,
28-6
at half time? At Leichhardt Oval.
Honouring Tommy Radonikis.
I can understand the frustration there.
You pay your money, you can do what you want, provided it's not racially vilifying, etc.
If that was, if they're playing a Manly or if they're playing a Penrith or a Melbourne Storm, you'd probably sit back and go, well, you know what, they're just too good for us. Mm-hmm. They're just too good for us. And you don't sort of get into that situation where you're booing your team. But when you turn up Sunday afternoon, team hasn't won. You're coming off the win, a lot to play for, and you give a performance like that, a limp performance. Yeah, I can understand.
Tell us what you think. 13:53:53. Now, with the Masters, where's the leash?
Is he back?
No, he's still one over for the day through five holes. So 6 under, 5 off the pace. Well, back page of the Daily Telegraph is, and also back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, the big story to emerge over the weekend concerning the Cronulla coaching job. So I love this club. Under Siege Morris vows to stand ground at Sharks. Here's the headline back page of the telly. The Herald, Fitzgibbon names his terms for Sharks job. Michael Chemis reporting on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, the back page of the Australian. Crunch talks on future of Sharks coach. The headline there. So the story that emerged through the Telegraph, or the Sunday Telegraph yesterday, and Michael Chemis from the Herald reporting as well, that Craig Fitzgibbon is set to coach Cronulla next year, provided the club agrees to his coaching staff requests, is Michael Chemis's report in the Herald. It's set to be a 3-year deal, reportedly worth at least $500,000 a year. And the report in the Herald claims that discussions have been going on for 4 months. Hence, I guess, the lack of appetite in going back to John Morris and having any talk with him, which the Australian saying is going to happen today. What's your read on all this, Loz?
Oh, look, I feel very disappointed for Johnny Morris because I think he's done a really good job under trying circumstances. You know, he's taken over a salary cap that wasn't in great shape. There were players being overpaid. They had to release players. They also had the Bronson Cherry drama. They've played finals football in the last couple of years, and I think they've started the season okay. Having said that, if you've got the opportunity to get a coach like Craig Fitzgibbon, who has been touted as the number one choice of assistants, he's couldn't be any more ready to take on a first-grade role. He's a sought-after coach at the moment, and if the Sharks can get hold of him, you've got to say, well, that's a good business decision.
Yes.
Whether we like it or not, whether you're a supporter of John Morris, if they're replacing someone with the credentials of a Craig Fitzgibbon, that's a good sign and a good tick for the club. But again, you feel sorry for the incumbent because you realise he's done a good job. And probably if he had a bit more support, he probably would be going a little bit better. But it's been ongoing, these discussions with Craig Fitzgibbon. They have known for a while that John Morris is not the guy that they see to take the club forward. And again, clubs have to make these strong business decisions. And if they can get someone like Craig Fitzgibbon, well, they've got to do it. They don't come around that often.
Why is the club not telling John Morris the truth? Even as hard a conversation as that is, right? We've been sitting here now for the last, I don't know, let's call it month, talking about John Morris and why is there talks about him being fired or not having a job next year? The Sharks are doing better than everyone expects. We speak to the players and they all love him. So why is the club not just up front, even if it's not to us, even if it's not to the media, but say it to John Morris? Say, mate, we are talking to Fitzgibbon. And if we can get him, I just don't understand. Like, we always sit here and talk about the loyalty of the player. Why does the player not stay at the club? Why does the player take the money? Yet, why does the club not show loyalty? Why doesn't the club not be honest to their coach who's out there every single day doing his best for their club? Why is that conversation not being had?
Well, I don't know whether that conversation has been had or not. But one thing that
listen to John Morris's comments in the media. He's known absolutely nothing.
One thing the Sharks have been saying all the way along, though, is we'll judge John Morris after 10 weeks of the comp.
Okay,
they have stated they will judge and see where the Sharks are and make a decision.
But even that's a load of rubbish.
Well, it might be, but that's what they're saying.
If Fitzgibbon signs the contract now, that's a lie.
And they might have determined already that he's not the guy to take him forward, which I think we can all assume is going to happen anyway with all the discussions around it. But they probably thought, well, if we're going to miss out on Craig Fitzgibbon, he's our number one choice. If we miss out on him, well, we can still have John Morris coaching us moving forward. But if they tell John Morris that he's not wanted, and all of a sudden Fitzgibbon falls over, John Morris might say, well, listen, I don't want to hang around. I'll go and get an assistant coaching job somewhere else. But again, it's a difficult conversation to have with a coach if you're uncertain of his future and you don't know where you're going. But this is where you can have blurred lines because one party can be saying something else and another party will deny it and say, well, no, we've gone down this path. We've been very open and honest with him. We've told him we've got, you know, we want to see how the club is going in the first part of the season. Now that Craig Fitzgibbon is available, we believe that he's the number one choice of candidates for any club if clubs were looking for coaches at this point in time, and we don't want to miss him. So I understand the Sharks' reasoning.
But I think that's a fair conversation, Loz. What you just said, as hard as that is for John Morris to hear, I think that's good communication. You've been straight up with him. And John can be frustrated, angry, disappointed, but at least he will respect if it's the CEO or the board, whoever's making this call and having the conversation, at least he would respect that conversation rather than imagine if we go on what we hear, John Morris has known absolutely nothing apart from the Sharks are not ready to re-sign him as head coach because there's uncertainty. And now he reads or finds out, hang on a second, you've been talking to Fitzy for 4 months. How does that make him feel?
Yeah, mate, that's
not right.
Oh, it's not right. I don't think it's right either. But that's just the way that some clubs operate. That's the way that clubs operate. Some try to be open and honest, and they think that that's the right policy. Others just will make a decision and then move on and just, you know, worry about the consequences later.